Father, we give you praise. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this morning. We worship you. Thank you for your word that comes to us. We receive it with thanksgiving. We magnify you, Lord. The entrance of your word brings light and understanding. We will not leave here the same. Thank you because every situation is being addressed right now. Bodies are lifted. Bands are broken. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've told you, if you want to do quiet time is where? Where is quiet time? Hallelujah. I don't want to say it to you. I don't ask you a question. Praise God. Welcome to church. Are you glad to be here? Okay. Can you just borrow me 3 minutes? I want Ife, please come. Antemilulua, please come. Don't worry, I don't know what you're thinking. Two of them have something in common. They have something in common. Who can guess? Hallelujah. Praise God. So two of them are moving on to the next phase of life. And I want us to bless them. I sense this since we were praying that this is the thing we do first. We bless them. The anointing of God upon them. Just close your eyes as we pray. The anointing of God upon them will not run dry. The fresh anointing, fresh unction for a new beginning. He orders the steps of the righteous. That path will keep getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And even everything they lay their hands upon, indeed it will turn to gold. Everything they lay their hands upon, it will prosper. And even as they think and as they do the things of God, they will truly be an effulgence of God's glory. The years they have spent in training as they go to the next phase, indeed it will come to bear. The years they have spent in school as they go to the next phase, indeed it will come to bear. And as the Lord has ordained it, when we see them again, of a fact testify that the Lord has been good to them indeed in Jesus' name. They will truly be trailblazers for God. And the words in their mouth, the word of the Lord in their mouth, indeed when they speak, you will back it up with power because it's God's word. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. Thank you for their lives. They will truly be an effulgence of your glory. Lord, as we send them forth in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Go and shine in the light of God. God bless the two of you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So after service, you can do the needful. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to read very long stories this morning. Okay? But first, we read Romans 15, verse 4, so that when we are reading the stories, you will be encouraged. Romans 15, verse 4 says, whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. Okay, so that what? I think we've been reading these things since August last year. Abi? So that we won't fall into error. That's why I always open it. Because the second part is what is critical. Whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. No Allah. It says that so that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hallelujah. And that's why we draw always, we tell ourselves, draw your strength from the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So sometimes okay, let's go to Numbers. Let me start from there. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to take it from verse 17. It Says then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in it is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Amen, Sheshai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. That's verse 22, right? Abby? All right. Verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster with the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Okay? Now they departed and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their own sight, and so we were in their sight. Praise God. So, I mean, obviously this is the story of the spies, right? And if you look at the last two verses, and always, every time I read this scripture, it always amuses me. Okay? But look, God is able to do whatever he says he will do. Hallelujah. And he does not send you on a mission that it will be mission unaccomplished. Hallelujah. It will always be mission accomplished. Okay? Now, in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and verse 2, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. For each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. He said, God said to Moses, okay, send men to spy out the land of Canaan. To where? The land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. Amen. This is where God started this story from. Abi? He says, to the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. He wasn't saying which I'm considering to give. Hallelujah. He wasn't saying, go and spy it. Then when you finish this one, we compare with this one. Okay? And then we now decide which one is good for you. He said, go and spy this land. Okay? Because this is the land I am giving the children of Israel. Hallelujah. So, and it's important that when God sends us or gives us a command, whether we perceive it in the spirit or we pick it up in the scriptures and perceive in the spirit that this is what the Lord is telling me, it is important that we stay within the confines of whatever he has defined for us and whatever he says. When I was doing chemistry, I was chemical engineering course. I was taught extrapolation. I was taught extrapolation. So sometimes you are right in the middle, and they say, if I am here, so at this rate, in the next 3-4 years, I'll be there. Okay, that's extrapolation. Okay, because that one is in the future. So a lot of times, that's what we do when we do mathematical equations. And when we do those things, or chemical equations, when we always do them, we always say that under standard temperature and pressure. Okay? So even the popular, these regular solar panels and everything, they will tell you that under standard temperature and conditions, this will be the performance, because there has to be a reference. Now, your reference in life, and our reference in life, you will always be within the context, within the dictates of God's word. Hallelujah. Without you extrapolating. Amen. Hallelujah. If God says this, then that's what he wants to do, and that's what he will do. Hallelujah. So when Moses sent God said to them, each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, each one a leader among them. Amen. Each one what? A leader among them. So Moses didn't just pick anybody, okay? He picked leaders for each of the tribe. And then he sent them forth. And then when they came back, they came with different stories. But he said he should bring back the fruits, okay? Now, and as we were saying this morning in the Bible school, that is important that you understand your responsibility in the scheme of things, in the scheme of God's things. So when God gives you responsibility, it does not matter whether my wife is doing her part, hallelujah, or my children are doing their part. My responsibility is my responsibility. Sometimes you'll be vexing, saying, because you did not do this one, then I'll not do this one. You'll be in error. And that's not to say that everybody should be misbehaving, because there will be a time you have to account for these things. Hallelujah. So this time I say, there's grace, and that day, there will not be any grace again. All the grace that you enjoy is now. Hallelujah. So if you have to do anything, you do it now. Amen. He will come back. Hallelujah. And we're expecting him. Amen. So when they went forth, and the Bible is very clear. And then they came back. And then some guys said, look, there are giants in the land. And this is the part that always amuses me. Verse 32. It says, and they give the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they have spied out. A bad report. So all the leaders, and that's where there's a pain. If it were just the congregation, it wouldn't have been a problem. But these are the leaders. And leaders have great responsibility. Okay? Because they were going to, and if you read further down, you see that they are held accountable for the reaction of the people towards God. So anytime you find yourself in a position where you are leading, know that you have responsibility in two ways, to God and to the people that you are leading. And then you are accountable for that. So if at all you will do anything, and that's why they tell us in organizations that we work in, if you know that the vision of this organization, you are not in tune with it, better for you to step aside than to cause chaos within the organization. All right. And this is what these leaders did. He said they brought back a bad report. And he says, and they give children of Israel a bad report of the land which they have spied out. Okay. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. So, if you look at this particular statement, there's a problem with this statement. Number one, they said the land that we have gone to spy is a land that devours its inhabitants. But yet they saw people there. That's what they're saying. They said it devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Hallelujah. Okay, so is that the land is automatically swallowing and then you cannot touch these ones that have great stature? Because I don't understand. And that's when people are being mischievous, you also have to be at your best. Hallelujah. Be at your best and be wise. They came and said, the land is, it devours the inhabitants. But the men we saw there are men of great stature. But you know what Caleb said? He said in verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. When they were giving the report of the land and saying that this land, there's a lot of trouble, they are strong, the walls are fortified and all that, even before they gave the report that the land devours the people, Caleb had already mentioned and said, look, we are well able to overcome. Amen. Now, so two things. Because oftentimes, we always make fun of the last verse of this scripture that says that the fact that they said that they were like grasshoppers in their eyes. So the question we'll always ask, or that always been asked, is that how did you know that you are like a grasshopper in their eyes? How did you go into their eyes to see that they saw you as a grasshopper? Okay, it's not like me feeling like a genie and say, Obaloluwa sees me like a giant. How do I know? What if the guy just looks and says, this is just an ordinary person? Because you can't tell. Okay? But the same way, we should also be able to query what Caleb is saying. Caleb is saying here that verse 30. He says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Where did he get that confidence from? Just let us go up at once. And now, they have seen men of great stature. They have seen the city that is fortified. But yet, this was what Caleb was saying, that we are well able to overcome. Let us go and take possession. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So two people, and they are seeing two different sides of the coin. One side says we are like grasshoppers in their sight, so that means that. But even if you, did you ever chase grasshoppers when you were growing up? Or you don't know grasshopper? Where is this generation that don't know grasshopper? They only know it by drawing. Abi, these ones they only know it by drawing now. If you call all these AI children, it's only Mortal Kombat that they know. Because do you know the stress that we go through to catch one grasshopper? Did you ever try it? And then when you catch it and you hold it like this, pa. And the thing sticks a lot. But it takes a lot of energy because it's always hopping. So it's difficult for you to, except you are very smart, it's difficult for you to hold grasshopper. So even these people were not thinking carefully. That if we were looking like this, if we were like grasshoppers in these guys' eyes, those guys will have a lot of problem holding us down. Amen. You see, when you look at the scriptures, the other day Zedman was teaching about the animals of God's word. Hallelujah. Because God will come and tell you that we belong to the tribe of the Lion of Judah. Abi? And then he will say that give us hind feet like that of a deer. Right? And then you begin to wonder. That's what Zedman was referring to as the animals of God's word. Because when you look at it, he talks about the lion, he talks about the eagle, and he talks about the deer. The day he explained what he gives us strength on the hind feet actually meant, he says that, you know, that animal, they walk on fours. Abi? 1, 2, 3, 4. They walk on fours. But because the deer goes in a rocky terrain, okay, it's going to hop from, if you're going to hop from this part of the mountain to that other part of the mountain, it lands on its hind feet, okay? And then these other 2 feet also lands in the same place, and it stays there, okay? And it has a lot of stability with its hind feet, okay? So when you read those things, you go and look at what is so special about this animal. It's also like when you talk about the ants in the scriptures, that says their colony is very organized, okay? And that one is really very simple. He says the ones that are soldiers, they know they are soldiers. The one that is queen knows that he's queen. Everybody goes about doing his bit, and then the colony functions. Amen. Those are the animals of God's kingdom. Okay? So, if these guys are looked carefully at grasshoppers, they will know that it would be a difficult thing. Was there a plague in the land of Moses that had to do with locusts and all that. Right? So were they able to deal with it? They were not able to deal with it. The land of Egypt was not able to deal with it. Right? He said, in fact, everybody ran away because they were just too many. Exactly. So sometimes when you are thinking and you're trying to reduce your capacity, know that even the thing that you are reducing to has a lot of strength in it when they're in a great number. Okay, so Caleb comes and says, we are well able to overcome. Well, let's go and take possession. Why would Caleb say that? Because Caleb understood the fact that he has a God. And they have been sent by God. That's why I read verse 1 and verse 2. He said, this is the land I am giving to the children of Israel. And God said, go. And now, if you look further, I think if you go to if you go to chapter 14, you will see where God got angry with those men. Huh? And then he said that, why would they forget all the things that I've done for them? And now I've delivered them in the wilderness. And up to this point, I said, why would they forget? And then begin to compare me with this. Okay? Because they are rebelled. So, Caleb's mind was not focused on the object or the forces that he was seeing. You know, oftentimes when we read the New Old Testament, there's always something in the New that refers to the Old. It wasn't. And that's why when Paul was writing to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, I think it's verse 8, he says, whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy. Please help me. Philippians chapter 4. Yes, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. He says, whatever things are of good report. When you read this part of the scripture, it's trying to tell you that you need to focus your gaze on the things that are correct and are right. That's not to say that the things that are not right does not exist. Hallelujah. It's not that the bad report does not exist. It says, whatever things are of good report, those are the things you meditate upon. And in the same vein that Caleb was trying to make the children of Israel see. Now look, despite all these things that this city is fortified and everything is just looks like whatever, there's a God that we serve. Okay? And our God is well able. And he said, we will take over because we have God's backing. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we have God's backing, we will take over. Now, if you go to in that Numbers 13:1, God said to Moses, I am giving you this land. Right? Now, in the same vein, if you remember when Christ was in the boat, Pastor Divine was just talking about it when he was giving us the welcome this morning. If you remember it's in book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. And verse 35. They were going to set on a journey. And this is what happened. He says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Okay? He says, let us cross over to the other side. And when the multitudes had left, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Then a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? But remember what he said to them when they were going to start the journey. What did he say? Let us cross over to the other side. Christ is very deliberate, and God is always very, very deliberate with his choice of words. Let us cross over to the other side. Oftentimes, what we do, and which the spies did, was that we leave what God says, okay, and then we begin to observe other things apart from God's word. And the Bible tells us that the man that observes the wind, he won't do what? Eh? He will not sow. Now, you have seeds in your hand. What you want to do is that you are expecting an harvest after a certain period of time. And what is important for you to do is to do what? To plant. To sow the seed. Okay? And then you go out and you want to sow. It's just like this morning. You know, before I stepped out of the house, it was looking bright too. And by the time I got to Odota, everything just looked dark. And, what's happening? And then by the time we were like halfway through Bible school, it was suddenly bright again. Now imagine that someone was about leaving his house and coming to church, and then steps out and looks and says, wow, it's dark. He goes back in and says, I'll wait till it's bright till I go out. That's what he's saying. So he who observes the wind, he will not sow, because the wind is not helpful to your cause. And then you begin to look at what is not helpful to your cause and forget the main reason why you have the seed in your hand. Never, never allow God's instruction to fade away in the midst of challenges or in the midst of what you call problems. Hallelujah. Because God knew about those challenges before he said, go. Now God knew that he said, go, let you go to the land. He said, and this is the land I am giving them. That's what he said. But they should go. Because he knew that, God knew that there would be giants there. He knew that the city would be fortified. Okay? But he wasn't expecting that they would come back. And that's why he said he should take it. He wasn't expecting that they would come back and tell the people that, look, he will not make the people rebel against God. Because when they gave their report, what the people did eventually was say that God should not have left us in Egypt. What's all this problem? We can't go forward. We can't go backwards. And that's what we are doing now. We can't go back, we can't go backward. But that's not the instruction he gave to the leaders. They were just to go and see. And every time those things happen, what we should always do is to remember where we are coming from, knowing fully well that if he has brought us this far, then he takes us to where we are going. Amen. So here, Christ told them, let us cross over to the other side. And then storm arose and everybody was fretting. Now, he was in the boat with them. Hallelujah. Amen. He was in the boat with them. They were the same set of people that they had been working with. Okay? The same set of people that have eaten when there was no food. Hallelujah. And now, he was in the boat and everybody was concerned and saying, Master, are you not bothered that we will perish? But because he had a mission, when you go to Mark chapter 5, Christ was not going to the other side because he just wanted to cross over to the other side. He was going to the other side because he was going to cast out a demon in that guy, what do you call it, the boy of Gennesaret. That was his mission. And once he finished with that, he went back. Hallelujah. If he says go, then you move. Amen. Because there's a mission to be accomplished. And he says his word will not return to him void until it has accomplished that which unto which it has been set forth. So if he says, I am giving you, then he will give you. Amen. If you look around you and think that everything is dark, don't bother about the darkness. Because you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. The fact that you can even see something dark. So if you are moving in a car in the night, and your car has a headlamp. Is that headlamp that helps you navigate around you even in the dark, right? Is that headlamp? So that light that you have will navigate you through darkness. Amen. It says in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? And then what happened? All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hallelujah. And he says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Hallelujah. And that light, that life that was in the Word, was the light of men. And darkness does not comprehend it. Our business is not with darkness. Whether it, and you see, if darkness does not exist, there's nothing that will be called light. Abi? If there's no darkness, there won't be light. But what he's saying is that don't take cognizance of the darkness. Don't take cognizance of the 45 cities that you think are against you. Take cognizance of the instructions that brought you to where you are, and we'll give you that instruction. Amen. And if you read further down in Numbers, it was Caleb that approached him and said, look, we're well able to overcome. And then when everything calmed down, God said, look, this land where he got to, he was going to give him. That's what Moses said to him. That, okay, the land that land where everywhere that your foot was, and you possess it, that was the promise that God gave to Caleb. And then if you go to Numbers, is it Joshua? Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 14. From verse 6. It says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzanite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. It says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I only followed the Lord, my God. Hallelujah. Do you see why Caleb was telling them that we are well able to overcome? Why? Because he was following God. Now, if you are following God, you can't be seeing problems. You only see a clear path before you. Hallelujah. Except you don't understand the God you are following. Okay? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the end from the beginning. Now, you see the detail that is in between. That's not for you and I to bother about. Hallelujah. He will take care of the details. He only needs us to be rest assured. And I think I said it last week, that our trust should be God. Our hope should be in him. Hallelujah. He only needs us to be rest assured that he will take us to where he's taking us to. Amen. And then he kept... who was talking here? Who was talking? Caleb. Alright? And then he says that, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I only followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot are trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have only followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he has said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke. This was to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Hallelujah. Amen. So, those of us that cannot wait, is a lesson. So, Caleb, and you know, oftentimes people always tell us that it's Joshua that said this thing. That Joshua was 85 years old. Abi? No, it was Caleb. So you should correct that. It was Caleb that's talking. He said that. So when that first instruction came, that they went to spy, he was 40 years old. Huh? And by the time he was talking to talking now to Joshua, he was how old? 85. How many years had passed? 45. But then he still understood that God's word and God's promise is not bound by time. Hallelujah. No, though it tarry, you wait for it, it will surely come. Amen. So, because a lot of us get discouraged, and I'm saying you are going to have to wait 45 years. But these things were written for our learning, so that we can have comfort and hope in the scriptures. That's why they are written. The bottom line is that whatever he says he will do it. But you know, we read about the sons of Issachar. I think it was three Sundays ago. We read about the sons of Issachar, that they understood what they ought to do. They had understanding of times and season. And then they understood what Israel ought to do. You know what that means? So if you know that this is your season, amen. Okay? It's not enough for you to know that this is your season. Hallelujah. Amen. It's also important for you to know what you ought to do in this period so that you have an actualization of that season that you are in. So the men of Issachar, they just didn't have understanding. You know, some people just come and tell you different things. They just didn't have understanding of time and season. They understood times and season and understood what Israel ought to do by time. And that's the level where we also ought to be. So Caleb understood the fact. So Caleb is telling us here in the book of Joshua that look, the only reason why he said all he said was because he was simply following God. When I was serving, anybody goes to serve, it's a paramilitary training, and then you are taught how to march. You must march in unison. Okay? And what they tell you is that you have to follow two people. The one in front of you, and you take dressing from the right. Abby, is it from the left? Which one? Where do you take dressing from? Right. Left, right. You take dressing from the right. Okay? So that as you are, if you are following, once you are following, as you see this guy, number one, you are not going to be faster than this guy. Number two, you are not going to be faster than the person on your right. Okay? Everybody must move in unison. So if he says he was following God, he was following the very footsteps of God. He was either going ahead of God and then wasn't slower than God. Hallelujah. He said, I simply was following God. See, one of the problems that we face, okay, is that oftentimes we solve the problems in our head and expect God to fit into the problem that we have solved in our head. All of our help comes from where? From above. Do you know that it's not where you think that help will come from that it will always come from? Abi? It's not. So if you sit down and you have a situation, and you begin to permutate and say, okay, if I'm going to talk to my father will be able to talk to his friend that works in the ministry, and then he will talk to this one, and then you have figured it out. You are not following God because you have not asked which is the way. Oftentimes, help comes from the source that you least expect it, through God. You know, people are fond of saying, these people, they always pray. Is God going to come from heaven and solve their problem? Yes, he will come. Because all our help comes from where? From above. But then when he comes, he's going to lay in the hearts of men. The most unlikely set of people is going to lay on their hearts, and they'll just walk up to you and say, oh, you need this, and they give it to you. Sometimes it may be the thing you are thinking of, but sometimes, not most of the time, it's not always where you think your help will come from. Sometimes you start a venture by the leading of God. And then you begin to look at the beginning and say, this thing is not making any sense. But you stay in it because of God. Because you know and you are too certain that it's God. Years down the line, you will see the reason why You were where you were, where you started from, where you started from. This is Caleb talking 45 years after and saying the story that Joshua knew. You know, Caleb was the hero of the story of the spies, not Joshua. Okay? Joshua just seconded him. And, I mean, Moses also said it. And God said it, that Caleb is my servant. He was the one that made the people understand what I wanted to do. It wasn't Joshua. It was Caleb. In 45 years, he did not say because the land was not given to him, he would turn back. Look at the story of Joseph. Joseph came out of prison and became prime minister. Right? You know, men have also been designing all these politicians. They have also been designing things like that. That somebody come out of prison and come and become prime minister. Well, have you seen the same thing happen? Once it's not God ordained, it doesn't happen that way. So Joseph came out of prison and became prime minister. But you know what brought him out of prison? Was the same thing that sent him into slavery. That's the way God works. What brought him out of prison? Oh yeah, now, just one person. What brought him out of prison? Interpreting. What sent him into slavery? It's what you do that sent him into slavery. What sent him into slavery? His same interpretation of his dream that sent him to prison. His same interpretation, no. But do you know the fact that the interpretation of dreams sent him to slavery did not stop him from continuing with God? Because he understood that if I follow him, that's what is important. So if you look at the patriarchs that have gone ahead of us, they were not looking at what was at the end of whatever they were doing. They were not looking at the reward. Paul and Silas in prison, they were not expecting that once they start praising God and worshiping God, they didn't expect that the gates of the prison would thrown open. But they were simply honoring God in their hearts and worshiping him. You go and read the story. Paul and Silas didn't sit and say, guy, once we start praying now, things will happen. You know that's what we do now. When there's a problem, you just sit down and say, let's just pray. Let's just be praising God. He will show up. They didn't sit down and conclude in their mind that it was just part of them that they should just praise God. And they saw God move. The story of Joseph, when he interpreted the dream, he says, my father, my mother, and my brothers, they bow down to you. I said, okay, now, no problem. And then they took him. They wanted to kill him. I said, okay, no, don't kill him. It was Judah that saved him, Abby. And then let's put him in the well. Then we come back. And then by the time he came, they sold him. But that didn't stop him. When he sold him to slavery, he came to Potiphar's house. When Potiphar's wife was seducing him, you know what he told her? I'll be committing a sin against God. Because that's who he was following. And I keep saying it, that the patriarchs, they had the way of passing across the stories of God undiluted from one generation to another. What is the story of Joseph? And then Joseph comes and says, look, where you are going, God is certainly going to take you back to the land that he promised you. But where you are going, carry my bones with you. It's not the bones that is important. It's the fact that God did not talk to Joseph about the fact that he will reach the promised land. God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and who? Jacob. But then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did a good deed, and they did a good job of transferring information from them to their generations. And up to the fact that this same Caleb said, I am just following God. I'm saying that they don't look at the fact that God rewards those who diligently seek him before they follow God. They just simply follow him for who he is. Like the psalmist was encouraging us to do in Psalm 150. He says, we should praise God according to his excellent greatness. It's not according to the things that he has done for you. Because some people, if they praise God according to the things that they won't praise God at all. In their mind, they will say, I was asking for this. I got this. You see, when I left university and I was serving, I wanted to buy a car. That car was 60,000 naira then. It was big money. But I couldn't afford it. So I told the person, I'll pay small, small. What was this one saying? That was 2000. I wanted to buy. Then some years down the line, 2-3 years down the line, another person, very close relative, wanted to sell the car. So say, I want to sell this car, blah, blah. I said, okay, I'll buy it. Let me pay small, small. I said, I don't mean you want to have started this small, small business. Maybe I'll have. I said, no, I need money. It's very close. Sold it. I said, okay, no problem. I just said, I'll be following God. And I knew the kind of car I wanted. When God will provide that car, I still didn't have money. I get what I'm saying. I still didn't have money. In fact, I needed like times 10 of the money for the car for what I was going to do. I was going to get married. And then somebody comes and posts a car and says, this car, the same car I wanted, that this car is for sale. And that time, I think it was 450,000 naira. And I was laughing. I said, I'm going to marry you. We need a car. This one. And we need a car. I needed to rent a house. Then we need to buy all those things that they buy. And I laugh. I said, this car. I said, for God, you grant the desires. I was like, well, you say you grant the desires of our heart too. Why? Since year 2000, and this is 2005, every car I've seen, I just left it. I said, no problem. Let's face God. So I just left it. Do you know that car, they didn't sell it until I had money to pay for it? Even the house I wanted to rent, they told me, oh, that guy, this house is vacant. Oh. They told me, I think in November, that the house is vacant. I was just laughing. So, this house is vacant. So I just want to pay 700,000 naira for the house that is vacant. I was just laughing. These were not serious. I said, okay, don't worry. I'll come. And that's what I told them. I said, I'll come. And then November went, December went, January went. They still come here and say, sir, we are holding the house for you. See, Nigeria has not changed in the behavior of people. They are not patient. Once they want to sell, give something out, the next minute they see somebody, when you get there, they just tell you that. If they want to sell anything to you, they will just say, people are waiting, whether somebody is waiting or not. They tell people are waiting. Three months, they called me, say, everybody has come for this house. We have told them that you're not giving it to them. And then I sat down. I said, God, you send help from your sanctuary. That's what I said. And then a friend of mine called me that I'd worked with over like 2 years. He just called me. He said, what's wrong? I said, I need money. I need to pay for this. And I just smiled. He said, you know what? I'll give you the money. You pay back. I had not spoken to him. I was sitting on the step. I was just like this. You know why I was like that? Because I was already married. My wife was in Ibadan. I was in Lagos. And she had told me that she would be coming by the end of March. She was coming, and I was staying in my friend's house. I was just laughing. The two of us just be living here. There's nothing we do. So I sat on the step, and I was just like, God. So this is the middle of February. And the guy just called. And I thought he was kidding. That's why I said, where you think help is coming from? The people that held the house for me, they could have paid for me. But they never offered, and I didn't ask them. So when the guy paid, he just sent me the money, and then sent me 600,000 naira. Then the cheeky house agent now said, you cannot collect, since it's my first time, you can't collect cash from me. He won't collect check from me. That should bring cash all the way to Idumagbo. And I was new in Lagos. I said, my God, I will carry Pastor Divine. I said, God, what kind of problem is this? I'll carry 600,000 naira. I'm going to. The first time I went to that place, and this is why I was scared. The first time I went to that, my friend and I, he was going to marry. He went there to buy a shoe. And then when we were moving, some boys just came to us. And they started harassing us. And I was worried because I'm just coming from Ibadan. My friend said, let's go. How are you? Don't look back. Just be going. And the guy was going. And he was talking to me. And I was like, what happened? So when they now said I should carry the 600,000 naira in cash to that same place. This is why I was worried. I said, God, this one that somebody even borrowed me, and I'm going to take it. Amen. But that's the beauty of it. And when I finish paying, when I finish paying that one, see, my wife did not know that I was passing through that one because I didn't tell her. I was a forming man. Now I don't form man again. I didn't tell her. My suit was not. We have done dangerous things because we believe God. The suit that I wore for my wedding, Mama, it came on Saturday. It came Friday before the Saturday. I had not worn it. I had not seen it before. They just sent it to me from Austria. And my wife, I had concluded the deal in October. It didn't get to me until January. And it got here Friday. I said, no problem. And I said, God, you see, I don't want to lie. This woman must not ask for this suit. The one I told her that I've sorted in October must be in her mind. And she did not ask one day. Funny. She did not ask one day. And then Friday, as we were doing rehearsal in the church for the wedding, me that was worried in my head that there's no suit. But there was shirt. I was just like, last. I'll just go to that wedding. I don't wear shirt. Nothing will happen. I said, she means that for them to see me. As we were doing dancing, boom, my phone just rang from the office that DHL is here. If you see the joy in my heart, that's when I said, God does not fail. You know why? My suit, my best man's suit, the groomsmen's shirt, they're all there. And even the groomsmen did not know that when they're coming to Lagos, they won't have shirt to wear. But Pastor Vijay was my best man. So he was with me at the Yaza. When he came, I said, Pastor Vijay, there's no suit. My suit and your suit. It's not here. Is your shirt okay? Even his shirt was in the pack. Yeah. So no. But I remember that in December before that time, he was just praying in church and he wrote, you will not be stranded. That's what he wrote. So that's why I saw in Numbers 13 verse 2 that God said, I will be giving you this land. You need to watch out for God's definite instructions to you. I just saw it. So that was the wedding, then the house, then the car. After I paid for the house rent, then my wife now said, she didn't know all the while I was going to get money. And I said, Mr. Andrew, would you? They said, she want to buy this car. I wanted to faint. You know, you are failing. But then, when help will come. The person that was going to say, I said, take this thing, you sort it out when you are ready. The same specification of car that I've been looking for 5 years. When the day I drove the car to that compound, I said, God, I will not limit you again. I'm not, this kind of specification, I don't need it again. I'll be, if there is a model for that year, that's the kind of car I want to use. Because I saw him do the things he would say he would do. And he didn't tell me that he would provide me a cow. We read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what he says. So if I'm desiring anything, You hold God by his word. This is what you have said. See, when Caleb was 85 years old, he said, this is what happened. And Moses said, that land belongs to you. And the land of Hebron was given to him. When we follow God, follow him without distractions. It's not that when you are following him, there won't be challenges. Because if people make a lot of mistakes, that when they pray now, they just open their eyes and come, everything is there. No. It's not that there won't be challenges. There will be. And that's why I mentioned the story of Joseph. If Joseph wanted to stop interpreting, he had every right to stop interpreting. If it's this age and time, the first thing you say is the one I interpreted last. Where did they take me to? That's what he will say. That's what people say now. People trivialize God's word, and we should not. So even when Joseph was going to help himself, you know that the help he looked for himself did not work. So there was the butler and who? I always forget to. Butler and baker. There was a butler and baker that had a dream and interpreted for the two of them. And then the butler was restored just like he told them. And the baker was killed just like he told them. And then when the butler was going, he said, "Guy, don't forget when you get up, don't forget me." But then the Bible records that the butler forgot him totally. But because God does not forget, and God knows his word and his timing, okay? He said, God caused the king to have a dream. And then the king became disturbed. Because it was time for Joseph to come out. Abi, that's it. And then suddenly the butler remembered and said, "I have sinned. That there is this man in the prison that interpreted." And then they brought him. And when Pharaoh would talk to Joseph, Pharaoh said that, "I've heard that you can interpret this." And Joseph said, "No, it's not me. It's God." Hallelujah. Every time you put God in the place of yourself, you will see things happen. Joseph said, no, it's not me. It's God that will interpret. And I'll just do as he has told me. And when he interpreted the dream, then Pharaoh said, "Who else has the wisdom to manage all you have said? Except you, in whom there's the wisdom of God." If another person say, "They're coming to interpret again. I'm not interpreting. No. That's how they will now go and sell me into slavery again." You have to follow God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse 8, it says, "The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." The end of a thing, once we stay with God, will always be better than the beginning. That's why usually it doesn't make sense in the beginning. Amen. You know, I had every reason not to do my marriage ceremony if I was to look at all the resources available to me. Everything around me was I wasn't going to do it. But I just knew that it was time for me to do it. So even when I got to my mother was querying me and saying all the things, you know the way mothers are querying and querying. I just laughing. I said, life is as simple as you make it. It's true. Life is as simple as you make it. Not everybody will ride a Rolls Royce. But then, a Rolls Royce is not the only vehicle available. Hallelujah. And you don't miss what you don't have. Amen. See, if somebody that's not been in a car before tells he's missing a car, he's just saying it because he thinks he's missing a car. It's the day he has a car that you will know what you are actually missing. Do you get me? Now, see me, I'm very fond of leaving the car and walking. Or I take public transport. Everybody just looks at me like, "What's wrong with this man?" I just leave it. I say I enjoy the ride. Because everything I know on the road, I knew it when I was sitting inside the public transport. And the routes, I knew them when I was sitting there. So sometimes I just like, okay, where are we going? Let's take the bus. I just enter the bus. Sometimes I leave church. So I leave church. The other day that you people left me here, when I crossed, I took Marwa to that place, and I took bus, and I went home. I said, "Hey, take Uber." No, I don't need to take Uber. Uber is how much? Uber is, it will be 10 times the money that I used to go there. That's a waste of money. You will get to where you are going. Hallelujah. No, you know the pain. It's true, and I'm not, all these rides, they're very expensive. See, one day, I went to Isolo, and I was coming back. I was like, "Let me take a bus." So I took a 500 bus, and I got home. When I was going back to Isolo, I said, "Okay, let me take this paid ride." Bum, bum, bum. And I went back to the same place. I paid 6,700 naira. So why would you always go in that paid ride? The same distance. Exactly. Thank you, grandma. It's too much. If anybody tells me once, I say, how much is it? Let's, if you take bus from here to Shodi, it's 200 naira. From here to it's 100 naira. 1,000 naira, you'll be fine. Don't kill yourself. It's true. You have to learn. See, people survive. It's not everybody that is in this city is not a millionaire. But people survive. So you need to learn that in the midst of plenty, it's not for you to be what? To spend extravagantly. No matter how convenient it is, you will all get to where we are going. It says better is the end of it than thereof. Okay? Especially when God is in the midst of it. Don't forget that if we limit God, God says the children of Israel, they limited him. And he was very angry with them. And the reason why he was angry with them was he dealt with them. The things he showed them when they were in Egypt, all those plagues, was for them to be able to understand that with him, they will have no lack. And no evil will befall them. But they refused to. They kept questioning him and questioning him. We should not keep questioning God. Hallelujah. Because when you do, you will miss it. This is what he says here. Numbers chapter 14. From verse 6. From verse 7, from 5, it says, from verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of Israel. The land we passed to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of God appeared in the tabernacle between before the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will the people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and discern them, and I will make of you a nation greater I mightier than they. Hallelujah. If you don't follow him, God counts it as what? As rebellion. He says, and as a rejection. So when he says something and you're against it, he will count it as rebellion and a rejection of his leadership. You know, when the children of Israel went to him and said, he knew that after a while they would come and say they needed a king. He said, you people are rejecting me. Then I'll give you a king like you want. Following God is the ultimate. Be like Caleb. Be like Joshua. Caleb and Joshua understood that if you follow him, God in the midst of it, there won't be a problem. I don't know what anybody needs, but I don't know what anybody is going through. But you have to just take a pause and say, how did I help myself to where I am? If you ask yourself those questions, you will see a lot of answers that you did not help yourself. Everything that you are today and everything that you have today is not by your power. It's not. When you go into the midst of people and you speak and everybody is listening to you, is it because you are a good orator? No. Or you're in the marketplace and everybody is coming to you and asking you for this and asking you for that. Is it because you have all the wares? See, every shop that you go into is limited in the number of things that they have. They don't have everything. But you do want, what good thing about this, and when people come, is the things that you have that they're asking you for. Is it by your doing? Is it when God orchestrates the steps of people towards you? So if he's saying, simply follow me, then you should remember all these things that at this point and at this point. See, this story of my wedding, I can never forget it. I know the beauty of it. 6 months, a year after my own wedding, a friend of mine also was in the same situation. The guy just came to me and said, He doesn't have a house. He doesn't have anything. And he's getting married. And I started laughing. I laughed, laughed. And I looked inwards. I said, God, why are you bringing this my way? And I said, the guy, well, come, I will give you money. That, by that time, I was already flexing. I said, don't worry, I'll give you money. You just pay it back. Our experiences are to help us build our trust in God. The challenges are to help us stay the more rooted in Him. That's the essence. He has never failed, and He will never fail. Let's rise to our feet. Mark 4, chapter 35 says, on the same day, when evening had come, He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. God's words to us are definite. Let us cross over to the other side. It means that no one is going to be lost. Nothing is going to happen to us. We will get to the other side. Hallelujah. He says, this is the land I will be giving them. Hallelujah. Nothing is going to change it, because it's the word of the Lord, and nothing can change His word. Just thank Him this morning. I don't know what He has told you, but remember that because of the murmuring and the plot of the other 10 tribes, God said, the people have rejected me because you're not believing me. You're not remembering the things that I did in time past. Now is the time for you to remember those things and rekindle your belief in God. He doesn't fail, and it's not limited by time. What is important is that you serve Him, follow Him. Just like Caleb said, I followed God. And God led him. And for 45 years, he kept following. And he did not stop. Just thank God that we are not moved by the things that we see. When His words come to pass, we thank Him for it and we move on to the next thing. When we are still waiting, we are thanking Him for it because we know that He has done it. It's just a matter of time. He's a good God. God, we thank You and we give You praise. Thank You because Your word works. And thank You because of your love for us, that we have not been consumed. That the Lord has changed not. And thank You because even in our situation, in this period and time, never change. Thank You because we hold on to Your word that we have. We hold on to the things that You've done in time past, knowing fully well that the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank You, everlasting King of glory. If You have brought us safe thus far, then tomorrow is secure because You are in it. Hallelujah. He says You are the one that You have found, the Omega, the very beginning and the end, the one that knows the end from the beginning. We worship You and we magnify Your name. In Jesus' name.